Welcome to the 10th Choose This Day Bible Study Series. We're going to be talking about the heavenly sanctuary today. And in the Old Testament, you can find plans for the earthly sanctuary service, which was built to God's exact specifications. It was built in concert with the heavenly sanctuary that's mentioned in the New Testament and also in the Old. But why was it needed? Does it really exist in heaven? These are some of the thoughts we're going to talk about today. Now, you can download the notes and go along with the study filling in the blanks if you would like to at revelationwithdaniel.com. There is a link in the description of this video below. So the first verse that we're going to talk about is in Hebrews chapter 12. It's in 24 through 25. It says, "To Jesus, who is the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Abel was offering what God had asked, but it was only a type or a shadow of what would come. "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." So the one speaking is the one from heaven that's referred to in Hebrews chapter 12. And so Jesus is a mediator of that new and better covenant. We're going to talk about those things better than what Abel had offered. And so in Psalm 102 verse 19, the Bible talks about he that looked down from the height of his sanctuary. Where was his sanctuary? "From heaven did the Lord behold the earth." So there is a sanctuary in heaven from which is performed the better services. There's a better covenant. It's dealing with better sacrifices. So in the Old Testament, we see a type of the sanctuary that was in heaven. That one in heaven right now is being ministered to by Christ himself. You can actually read about that in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. He is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle." It's the original tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. In other words, it was pitched in heaven, not here on the earth. "For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he," Christ, the minister in heaven, "if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests according to the Levitical priesthood that offer gifts according to the law of Moses, the law of the Levites, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, which are in heaven, which Christ ministers to, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see," saith he, "that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry," that's Christ that has obtained the more excellent ministry, "by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." That's not to say that the Old Testament promises and the covenant of the Old Testament was bad in and of itself. No, not at all. It was God's covenant. It was built upon the promises of God. But the mix, as you read more in the book of Hebrews, where the human element came into the picture, that's what caused the problems with the covenant. It wasn't God's promises that were bad. It was the commitment from the end of the humans, or the human element of that covenant, that was bad. And so Christ now is ministering in heaven, and the humanity that he lived was in perfect concert with that of his Father. And so there's no breaking of the covenant between Christ and his Father and the law that was established. And so we can have a better covenant built upon better promises, knowing that Christ is the one that was able to fulfill everything his Father had asked. Now in Hebrews chapter 9, 22 through 23, it says, "Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission." So even in the Old Testament, there was a shedding of blood for the sake of showing the remission of sins. But those animals were not that which God had asked for. They were only symbolic of the fact that his Son, having taken on human flesh, would be willing to die in our place, shedding his blood so that we could be saved in his stead. And so he took the punishments that we deserve, that we can receive the honor that he deserved. And so it is such a blessing that God has built this sanctuary system on the earth to explain what he's doing in heaven with his son and the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. That's what we were talking about earlier when we dealt with the 2300 days. As it says in Daniel 8:14, he said unto me, unto 2300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And the question must be asked in light of the other verses that we've read from the book of Hebrews, cleansed of what and cleansed with what? The sanctuary in heaven is where our sins go in transference from us to the sanctuary, as it was described in the book of Leviticus chapter 16 during the Day of Atonement. And so our sins, when we confess them, are sent up into heaven, and they are there ready to be, or waiting to be placed upon the head of the scapegoat, as described in Leviticus 16. And the reason why they are transferred to the sanctuary is because of the blood that was shed by the Son of God. We don't need to shed our blood in payment for those sins, because Christ has shed his blood in payment for those sins. We ultimately will not have to die for our sins if we have confessed and forsaken them, because somebody has died already in our place for those sins. And so when we confess, when we forsake our sins, when we turn by the power of God into the newness of life, into the new walk of life, into the path that God has chosen for us, this is when we will be blessed and prepared for that time to live in eternity with God. So now in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, during the day of Pentecost, right around that time, Peter was preaching and he had said to them, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he, the Lord, shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And so we are to repent of our sins so that our sins may be blotted out. Confession, repentance, turning away from sin, choosing those things which are holy instead of those things which are carnal or evil. This is what God has asked us to do. And the way to do that is by faith in his word. I don't know how it works, but the word of God has power within it. It actually says the word is spirit and it is life, according to John chapter 6, verse 63. And somehow, miraculously, through that word, you are empowered to perform the things God has asked you to that are written in his holy word. So Revelation 15, verses 5 through 8 says, after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple having seven plagues. These plagues are filled with the wrath of God. They are clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. So what these verses are describing is that in heaven there is a sanctuary. And from that sanctuary comes blessings. But at the same time, from that sanctuary come judgments. You see, God is at war against the enemy. And the real controversy between truth and error, between righteousness and unrighteousness, is between Christ and his angels and Satan and his angels. We can see the angels here are sent forth into the earth with judgments upon those that are willing to surrender to the kingdom of the enemy instead of surrendering to the kingdom of holiness or the kingdom of God. And so the choice is ours. Every one of us has the ability to choose the kingdom of God in heaven, where he is ministering that which is good from that sanctuary in heaven, or we can be here on the earth to receive anything that the enemy gives from his sanctuaries here on the earth. I choose the kingdom of heaven and the sanctuary of God. To understand the process of the earthly sanctuary, we need to study Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, especially in this case, chapter 16 of Leviticus. The service was a type or a shadow of the plan of salvation prior to Jesus' incarnation, his death, his resurrection, and the continuing ministry he does even in heaven right now. There is so much more that could be said about the sanctuary service. It's up to you to study, to pray, to find what God has revealed in His holy word about His salvation plan through that sanctuary. So we were just reading about Revelation 15, but Revelation 16 depicts the finishing work of judgment just prior to the second coming of Christ. It requires study to apply the symbols that are in the Bible and acquire a deep understanding of what is being related there in that section of the Bible. It's so important for us to prepare for living in heaven in the kingdom of righteousness throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. So read the book of Revelation, read Exodus, read Leviticus 16, know and understand the various types and shadows that are described in the Bible. And we can continue to learn more as Christ shares with us through His holy word. So here are some terms to remember. What we talked about is a type and an antitype. A type is a shadow or a symbol of that which is original. So therefore, the sanctuary on earth is a type of the sanctuary in heaven, which is the antitype. So in that sanctuary service of the Old Testament, there was a lamb that was slain. Now, the lamb was a type of Christ, the antitype. So as you continue to learn these ideas of the shadow, and the type, and the antitype, and the fulfillment, the prophecy, and that which is the fulfillment of the prophecy, you start to learn those terms, you'll be able to realize a little bit more in the concept of the sanctuary, how there were types and antitypes, that which was symbolic, and that was actually fulfilling the symbols that were described earlier. So, in light of all these things, I am blessed that we have the fundamental principle number 10, which is that the sanctuary of the new covenant is the tabernacle of God in heaven, of which Paul speaks in Hebrews 8 and onward, and of which our Lord, as great high priest, is minister. That the sanctuary is the antitype of the Mosaic tabernacle, and that the priestly work of our Lord connected therewith is the antitype of the work of the Jewish priests of the former dispensation, which we read in Hebrews 8. That this, and not the earth, is the sanctuary to be cleansed at the end of the 2,300 days. What is termed its cleansing, being in this case, as in the type, simply the entrance of the high priest into the most holy place to finish the round of service connected therewith, by making the atonement and removing from the sanctuary the sins which had been transferred to it by means of the ministration in the first compartment, which we learn about in the Old Testament, but also in the New. What they did in the Levitical priesthood, but also what Christ is doing now. And that this work in the antitype, beginning in 1844, in concert with the longest prophecy of the Bible, which is the 2300 days, consists in actually blotting out the sins of believers, like we read in Acts chapter 3. And it occupies a brief but indefinite space of time, at the conclusion of which the work of mercy for the world will be finished, and the second advent of Christ will take place. So thank you so much for taking the time to go through this study on the sanctuary, both in the Old and the New Testaments, and there is so much more to learn. So continue to learn with me at revelationwithdaniel.com.